This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam. In this series, we're looking at what Allah and His Messenger have defined for us as being the best in all of our affairs from the Islamic perspective. In this segment of our series, we'll be looking at what is best with regards to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll begin with a narration common to many of us, but worth hearing again, which was related by Anas ibn Malik, in which he quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. None of you has truly believed until I become more beloved to him than his father, his children, and all humankind." This hadith points out the best of faith, where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes more dear to the believers than their parents or all of humankind. And in another narration, where Umar ibn al-Khattab had stated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he loved the messenger more than anything else except for himself, his own soul, his own self. At that point, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Until that happens, you have not truly believed." Then Omar, reflecting on himself, said, "You are more dear to me even than myself." And the Prophet ﷺ then said back to him, "Al-ana ya Umar, now you have arrived." This sums up what our perspective should be in terms of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should love him more than those who are the most dear to us, our parents, our children, relatives, and even our own selves, our own soul, which we value so highly. We should love him even more than our own souls. Now, in practical terms, how do we implement that? Because usually love is connected to someone we are in touch with. That person does things that we like, so we like them. They provide things for us, so we like them. They gift us things. They show love to us, so we love them. So our love is in general based on our contact with them. But now the Messenger of Allah is not in contact with us. We're not in contact with him. So then how does that love manifest itself? First and foremost, the most basic aspect of that love which all of us are required to strive for, to achieve, if faith is to be completed, that whenever we have to choose between what the Messenger has told us, taught us, and what pleases our parents or our children or ourselves, we will choose what the messenger taught us. And that is the most fundamental manifestation of that love. Because it is natural that you're going to obey the one you love. The one you love, they ask you to do anything, you will do it. If you truly love them, you will do it. So, obedience, servitude, compliance with the will of the one who we love is the most basic aspect of loving someone. So this much we are required to acquire, each and every one of us, if our faith is to be real. In practical terms, with regards to our parents, if our parents ask us to do certain things which involve bid'ah, for example, they ask us to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him. We know this is not pleasing to Allah. We know that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he had told us, "Kullu bid'atin dalala." Every innovation in religion is misguidance. So if we love him, we will avoid this form of innovation. And any form of innovation, which is innovation in religion. So this is how it becomes manifest. We love our parents, we honor them, and that's what the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, told us to do. So when we're doing it in obedience to what the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had instructed. But now, if they ask us to do anything which goes against the fundamental teachings of Islam, now we have to disobey them. Now our love for the Messenger of Allah, our love for Islam, has to be given priority. Similarly, our children. Parents seek to please their children. They want to see their children happy. They want to do the things that the children love. That increases their love for the children and the children's love for them. But if they desire doing something which is displeasing to Allah, what does Islam require them to do? It requires them, as much as we are able, to dissuade them from doing that, to give them other alternatives which are pleasing to Allah, we should strive to do it. We should not just submit and say, well, that's their choice. No. If their choice is displeasing to Allah, then out of our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our love for Islam, our love for Allah, we should strive to stop them from doing it and to do what in fact is pleasing to Allah. So in this way, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is manifest. Now, some people manifest that love in ways which are displeasing to Allah. They have gatherings in which they claim that Rasulullah attends, and they will stand up in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believing he has entered upon them and he's there with them. This is innovation. This is displeasing to Allah. Also, you have, as we mentioned earlier, those who celebrate the Prophet's birthday, claiming that out of their love for Rasulullah, they have followed celebration, you know, proceedings involving poetry which praises the Prophet beyond his capacity. It involves also song, dance, all kinds of things which are in fact displeasing to Allah. And they call it Mawlid. and celebrate it annually. However, this is not pleasing to Allah. To do so, to participate, simply to please others, etc., this is the destruction of any love we had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And similarly, people claim that their show of love for him involves, for example, having a plaque which says, Ya Muhammad, and they put it up on their wall. Ya Muhammad, oh Muhammad. And they will call on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sense of actually asking him to do things for them. This is shirk. This is not pleasing to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be opposed to it, tooth and nail. So how we express this love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be as it was done by his close companions who knew what was permissible and what was not. And what they did was sanctioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having him more beloved to us than anyone in this world, and even ourselves, is the perfection of faith. Without it, faith is imperfect. It is defective. Perfection, of course, is a relative term, because perfection actually only belongs to Allah. But as near to perfection as human beings can reach, that can only take place if we engage in love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, manifest in obedience to his commands, care to send greetings to him whenever his name is mentioned, saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. All of these are expressions of our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others, again, on the other hand, have taken that love into the material realm and used it as a means to make other claims for themselves. We're going to look at some of these other ways after the break. So we're going to take a brief break now, and we'll see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back from the break. Prior to the break, we were looking at illegitimate ways by which people show their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of those ways, we said, involved taking certain artifacts, attributing them to the Messenger of Allah, and developing rites and rituals around them. For example, you can find in the Topkapi Museum in Turkey sandals which are claimed to be the sandals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you may find in other countries, in their museums, similar sandals. Now, one, we have no evidence that these were the sandals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the only way we can claim successfully, correctly, that these were the sandals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to know the Sahabi who took them, and who he handed them down to, and who they handed it down to, and so on and so forth, until it got into that museum. If we don't have a connected chain of narration confirming its transmission, then we reject it. It's just a fable. On the other hand, There are descriptions of the Prophet's sandal in texts like Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, which describe the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, in detail. Imam al-Tirmidhi, known for his Sunan, one of the classical compilations of hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in it, he does describe the sandals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they look like. Fine, we know what they look like, or some of the ones that he wore. But in the commentary written on Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, which was translated into Urdu in Pakistan, the author who did this translation, Maulana so-and-so, wrote that if you draw a picture of these sandals and you place it under your pillow and go to sleep at night, you will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. So you can meet him face to face and express your love to him. But this is a lie. There is no evidence for this claim. And even if some people did it and they thought they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, it's still, we can at most say it's coincidental. It has nothing to do with the drawing of his sandals and putting it under your pillow. Similarly, you will find in different parts of the world, the tooth which was knocked out of the Prophet Muhammad's mouth in the Battle of Uhud, one of his teeth was knocked out. And in the Topkapi Museum, you will find the tooth there. But also in Pakistan, you will find the tooth in some museums there. And in Morocco, you'll find the tooth. And in fact, you go around the Muslim world, you'll find enough teeth to fill a whole mouth. And the Prophet ﷺ only lost one tooth. And of course, people make all kinds of rituals and rites around the tooth. This is all nonsense. There is no loving of Rasulullah ﷺ through this channel. Also, we have hair from the head of the Prophet ﷺ. Some people claim they have hair from his head. In Kashmir, they even made a whole masjid dedicated to some hairs from the head of the Rasul, called Hazrat Baal Mosque. Again, if we don't have proof that a companion took his hair from his comb or whatever, passed it on and can be traced, and we don't have it, then know that these claims that people have the hair of the Prophet Muhammad, and again, if you gather up all the strands of hair, it would be enough to cover about 10 heads. All nonsense. And people will wipe the case that they keep these hairs in and wipe it on themselves. And go through all kinds of rites and rituals around the hairs and the teeth and the sandals. This is all nonsense. This is not from the deen at all, from Islam at all. So we don't show our love of Rasulullah ﷺ through these channels. We show our love through obedience to him. Just as Allah tells us in the Quran, if it is that you love Allah, you want to show your love of Allah, then follow the messenger and Allah will love you. Why? Because Allah already said, مَنْ يُتِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. So in obedience to Allah, we show our love of Allah. This is clear. Obedience to the messenger, we show our love of Allah. This is clear. So this is the root, the legitimate root by which we show our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And other aspects involve, for example, loving what the Prophet loved, the things that he loved to do. For example, fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. He loved to do it and he recommended us to do it. But very few people do. But they claim to love Allah and love the Messenger of Allah. If we really loved him, then we would do as he did. He regularly fasted Mondays and Thursdays. And he encouraged us to do it. So why aren't we doing it if we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Also in Sha'ban, before Ramadan, he used to fast that month more than any other month. So much so that he would fast the whole month and connect it up to Ramadan, with the exception of a day or two. But how many people even bother to fast in Sha'ban at all? So we have to question ourselves, do we really love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or is it just something that we say? You know, these are just words that we express. And maybe we'll get very upset when Europeans will draw cartoons about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll go mad. We'll go in the streets, we'll burn cars, we'll do all kinds of things because a European cartoonist had drawn a picture of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a funny way. So we feel we're showing our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by rioting. People lose their lives, property is destroyed. And we feel we're showing our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Know that if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present, he would tell you to stop it, not to do it. This is not the way. When he went to Taif and tried to spread the message of Islam there, after the Quraysh had rejected him, and the people of Taif turned him out, sent the children after him, throwing stones at him, hitting him with these stones till he was bleeding. Yet, when he had the opportunity to destroy them, his thought was, perhaps in the future, from their descendants would come those who believe in Allah. So he asked Allah not to destroy them. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have to follow his way if we truly love him. So, dear viewers, before we close, we just want to recap the need. In order for our faith to be complete, the best of our faith is one in which we have loved the Messenger of Allah more than our parents, our children, the world, and even our own souls. We need to love him and love what he loves in order for our faith to be complete. With that, I now bid you farewell, hoping to see you in the coming episodes of The Best in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.